Welcome, everybody. We're back for episode 14 of the Travel Vertical podcast. This is Lori R, and we're here today with a guest, but without our co-host, Adam. So sorry that you couldn't be with us today, but we're going to carry on without you and see how I do in this job. So sorry for feeling nervous about that, but I'm delighted that we're here and we're going to talk as usual about jobs. That seems to be the big attraction, jobs, which are just, you know, a gazillion of them each week. And we keep finding them and we keep listing them and we keep talking about them. Let's share them and get this industry back and rolling as soon as we can. There's a lot of great jobs and we're going to be talking through them. But first, I'd like to introduce today's guest. We're delighted to have Ed Harris here. He's the president and CEO of Discover Lancaster. And if you don't know where that is, don't worry, because Ed's going to let you know. But it is, in fact, otherwise known as the center of the Amish country in Pennsylvania, a neat drive from New York, from the city, from Long Island, from New Jersey, from Philadelphia and places like that. Washington and Baltimore, too, I would bet. So without further ado, Ed, hello.
Hello. Thank you, Laurie. Thanks for having me today. And you're right. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania is roughly 90 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia, and 90 minutes from Baltimore, Maryland, too. So we're a great sort of retreat or getaway for many of the East Coast or Northeast cities here in the United States. And during the pandemic, we've been very fortunate to see a lot of those visitors come through our area.
Well, as you say, you're a great drive destination, but today we're not going to talk, because this is a B2B audience, you know, and filled up with people who are your peers and at other destinations, we're not going to focus so much on the consumer aspect of your great destination, but rather some of the things you're doing that are special and different to promote it. And one of the things that caught my attention, Ed, was when you spoke with one of your providers called Carvertise, and you spoke at the e-tourism summit last month in Las Vegas. And I was really interested in this product, and I wondered if you would share that with our listeners today, because Carvertise gives you some great opportunities to get out into the drive market and actually to move that market around to wherever you like, because, you know, your ads are on wheels. So how cool is that? Could you tell us more about what you do and how you do it?
Absolutely. So Carvertise is a great company to partner with here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We're doing some projects with the company, and it's really a result of my prior experience working with them when I was leading marketing at the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board in Pennsylvania. And the beauty of the concept with Carvertise is kind of what you hit on, Laurie. It's an opportunity to connect with potential visitors in an out-of-home format that's mobile, that's moving around. And so the ability to wrap cars with a message and send a fleet of cars driving around a target market to influence them to consider traveling to your destination was something new and fresh as a marketer that we wanted to test and just see what kind of traction we could get out of that initially.
They're not driverless cars, are they?
They're not. But what's unique about it is these cars are tracked through GPS technology. You receive heat maps in terms of the kind of traction they're getting and where they're driving, to also ensure that they're not parked in a garage all day. You know, they're active, they're driving around. And beyond that, in terms of the targeting, not only can you select the number of cars that you want driving around in a particular feeder market, if you will, but you can get down to the details of things like zip codes and even the drivers and the types of cars themselves. So imagine if you wanted to target families in a particular market to come travel to your destination. They have such a large database of drivers who want to be compensated through this initiative that they can get minivans driven by soccer moms, and they can be the people driving around your message. And even beyond that, they can give out your visitor's guide if they're Uber or Lyft drivers that are participating in the program. And so you really get this sort of grassroots marketing through that initiative. And it's also, at the end of the day, more cost effective than your traditional static standalone billboard. So I highly recommend it. I'm, you know, sort of in my second rodeo working with Carvertise, but to be able to go into markets like Baltimore for us, or even Long Island, and try to influence people to travel to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, has been a really good tactic for us.
So just give us the visual. What does it look like? You say the car is wrapped?
Yeah, so they offer a couple different solutions, so to speak. You can choose to have the cars partially wrapped, whether it's just the doors on the side or the hood of the car, or you can do a complete full wrap. And that's where the creativity can really, you know, differentiate itself out on the road from other, you know, messages we're constantly getting, whether we're, you know, listening to radio or looking at billboards. The cars that are fully wrapped really do make the largest impact. And for us in Lancaster County, you mentioned earlier, we definitely are known for our Amish neighbors. And it's such a unique, captivating culture, you know, often driven by horse and buggies. And so the creative that we use on the sides of cars were, in fact, horse and buggies. And that really, you know, on top of just wrapping a car with imagery, the actual imagery itself was such a sort of juxtaposition from cars themselves driving around the road that it really had that sort of stopping power that marketers like to talk about in terms of the execution.
Yeah, that must be really eye-catching. I'm going to start looking for these cars in California. but tell me something. The cars are driving around, you know, horse and buggy is on the side of the vehicle, which is already cool. What happens, generally speaking, when, you know, they pull up at a stoplight or, you know, somebody sees them? Do they try to engage in a conversation, maybe not at the stoplight, but if the guy is going to stop, you know, and get a Dunkin' Donut, they're going to have a conversation in the parking lot. Are the drivers ready for that? Are they equipped or trained for that at all?
Yeah, so that's a whole new element that they've instituted where, yes, the drivers receive the amount of training that the advertiser wants them to have. And so they can be talking about a promotion. They can be literally handing out information, the drivers. And typically what you want to do with this type of new marketing approach is you want to have a unique or custom URL so that you can really track the performance. How many people are seeing this unique advertising rather than, you know, having it just go to your standard URL? That's a key component, at least, of measuring this new tactic. But typically you commit to 6 to 8 weeks because, you know, there is the investment on the front end of having a car wrapped. But Carvertise is very smart about it. In terms of the cars that are driven on the road with this messaging, they have to be of a certain age in terms of the cars. They can't be, I think, older than 3 or 4 years old. And so you have newer cars that are driving around with this messaging, and they have a whole database. You know, you can search zip codes and just really get targeted with where you want your message driving around, so to speak.
You know, before we chatted today, I was thinking of this as sort of a, you know, a mobile billboard, you know, for your out of home advertising that can go wherever you would like it to go on a given week. And I'm sure it can do. But now that you describe it and the training as well, I think of it also not just as the mobile billboard, but also as a mobile visitor center.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Because it really is beyond just the visuals, that it's that interactive piece that the driver can have. And what Carvertise is seeing is an uptick in Uber and Lyft drivers participating in the program, because if they're going to get compensated for driving anyway, why not have the car they're driving wrapped from a partner? But that partner is able to then give them literature or information that can be shared with the guests they're driving around. So, you know, it's very dynamic. It's multi-layered, this marketing concept. It's not just a visual by any means. It's also, you know, guerrilla grassroots type of marketing at its best.
Well, I really am taken by the idea. I think it's great. And do you do it all the year round, Ed, or do you just pick it up for seasonality?
Well, what I can share with you is I know that Carvertise, the company, has picked up several national clients. It's still a relatively new business, but they have clients like Buffalo Wild Wings, 7-Eleven, like big companies. And in terms of the tourism space, they're gradually gaining a lot of market share. In a place like Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, I would describe us as more of a mid-tier destination management organization. And I only say that from a budgetary standpoint. We are picking different points in the year, whether it's the shoulder seasons or the peak seasons, to influence those travel decisions. I would love to have a fleet of 6 to 12 cars in our top 3 to 5 markets 12 months a year. Unfortunately, that's not a reality potential for my budget as a midsize destination. But like I mentioned before, it is, when you work out the numbers, it is more cost effective than a stationary billboard that's in one place. And so we've typically done campaigns so far like twice a year, summer and winter. I would love to be able to do it in the fall and spring as well. But I would highly recommend other destination marketers out there who are looking for something new and fresh and different that they can track to give them a serious look, because we have received a lot of anecdotal positive feedback. We've seen a lot of good PR out of it locally, as well as, you know, the heat maps and the metrics that come back.
Yeah, terrific. I think it's something that some more DMOs are going to do. I've seen it done in years past, but normally only during an activation. You know, like St. Pete Clearwater is going up to Chicago to say, you know, it's freezing in Chicago, but it's warm, you know, down in Florida, but they'll do it for a week, you know, or for a few days. But you're the first one that I've seen using it on a regular basis. And if you can afford it as a mid-market, even if it isn't all the year round, you know, great.
Yeah. And it's just, it's great because they leverage new technology like GPS to be more efficient with their drivers. And I do think that the company's growth has accelerated during the pandemic, in large part because, you know, road trippers are very active. So that whole idea of their advertising is on the road plays to their strengths when maybe people are less inclined to take air travel as much as they are to take the road trip. So during the pandemic, they've had a lot of success. And I know there's tourism organizations around the country right now that are actively talking with them about putting fleets of cars out there on the road to help, you know, push their destination.
Well, Ed, the next thing I want to speak to you about today is connected in a way to this. I know that you've got an MBA and you're a marketing guy who came to destination tourism promotion from large consumer brands like Under Armour, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
And so you understand marketing on a different level, on a larger global level, I should say. So I'm curious, when you think marketing and you think, well, here's a good idea, and I like the Carvertise idea, and I'd like to share it with some of my peers. How is it that, you know, you go out there, you put something on LinkedIn, and voila, you're all of a sudden you're in the top five of all the tourism destination leaders that are out there. And we know this because of some research that was recently done and launched at the eTourism Summit. So I want to talk to you about being top five. How is it that you get people to follow you, and that you've always got something interesting to say? You get such large engagement.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I have the exact answer to that, but I'll try. I think, you know, as destination management leaders, we are some of the luckiest people in the world to get to do what we do. And for someone like me who's been, you know, fortunate to land in a destination like Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a place where it's very unique, a lot of that driven by these captivating Amish neighbors we have, there is a lot of unique things or content, if you will, to talk about on a regular basis, on a seasonal basis. And when you combine having a lot of unique and interesting things to share out and talk about, along with the fact that I really do believe that as people, we are all brands. The language and the words we use, the imagery we post, the way we treat other people, I think it's because of my background working in consumer products and learning that what people care about at the end of the day is what's new. You know, when you're selling, you know, new sneakers or new apparel in that space that I worked in for 15 years, people just care about what's new. It's not about, you know, what's old. And from a destination marketing standpoint, you know, there's certainly an element of our destinations don't necessarily change that often. But the approach that we take and the ways we can bring those things to life in unique ways can change all the time, whether it is Carvertise or other ways to advertise the destination. I just think that there's so much potential for creatively highlighting your destination in new ways, season after season after season, that that should give people enough content ammo to be able to post about it. And I think between LinkedIn and Instagram, those two channels specifically, as destination marketers or destination leaders, those are two places where we can highlight unique businesses and places to experience, and also all the great imagery that can go along with that.
Well, I can think of two people who would agree with you. One of them is Steve Jobs, who I watched a clip the other day about him talking about branding, you know, which was brilliant. And him saying, you know, talking about Nike and using that example and saying, you know, they never talk about their sneakers. They talk about athletes and athleticism and excellence, and they never talk about the sneakers. And that was his intro to coming out with the famous Apple branding, which was Think Different. And we all know that's grammatically incorrect, but, you know, think different it was. And he wanted to do something that saluted, you know, the great thinkers from Einstein to, you know, whomever they might be, and put Apple out there, you know, as a brand that was breaking ice and doing new and different things. And if Einstein were alive and used a computer, he'd be on a Mac. And the other person is, of course, Maya Angelou, who said, it's not about, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's not about what you say, but how you make people feel that they take away. And in my mind, those two things are mixed up in what you've just said and how it is that, you know, a destination needs to not just say, we've got golf, we've got dining, we've got shopping, we've got, because everyone has, you know, what have we got that's, you know, that's different? And how do we make people feel? And of course, you've got the advantage of being able to talk about a place that is unique, truly unique.
Yeah, but also, like I said, I mean, there's ways of approaching the things you do have in new and fresh ways. You mentioned golf, for example. You know, you could approach highlighting golf a new way next season through implementing, say, an app about your golf courses, or maybe it's a guide about things to experience in the golf world in your destination, or maybe it's launching a whole new web page or an ad campaign just around golf. Like there's ways that season after season you can refresh and go deeper into these various things you can do in different ways. That's what I love about marketing, is all the different storytelling that is there. And as a destination, it really should be endless opportunities on ways to approach what your story is. And that's what I love about it. And I think LinkedIn is really an opportunity to showcase by tagging your businesses when you're highlighting something new happening at the business, or even sharing an article helps you become sort of a thought leader in the space. And I think, you know, because LinkedIn is the business community, and among all those businesses and business leaders, they all want to travel at some point too. So I love to share what's happening here at my destination in a very active way on LinkedIn. I think it's extremely powerful for destination leaders. It has been for me. And then on the flip side, I mentioned Instagram, just from a visual standpoint, to be able to put your best foot forward through your brand's Instagram page with beautiful photography of the various things you can do, serves basically as a magazine for your destination. And that's how we like to think about Instagram.
Well, have you seen the Robin Williams discussion about golf and how golf was created?
Yes.
You know, there's storytelling for you. It's the funniest thing.
Absolutely.
But on LinkedIn, then, you don't just go there when you're looking to hire somebody. You use it for all that it's offering.
I definitely think it's evolved. I think when it started out, I believe over 10 years ago now, it was primarily a online Rolodex. And that certainly is still really valuable, right? And especially for me to be able to stay connected to creative minds and various strategists that I worked with at various brands as I kind of grew up in the marketing world is of great value to me to see, you know, what kinds of things they're sharing out. And I look at it as a great learning tool, even beyond looking up someone's email address. And I think it's become a really valuable source for information on the business world. And if we can contribute to that and highlight the various businesses or people that make our destination tick, why not? I think it's a great, great tool.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And on the content question that you touched on, you know, one of the top pain points that came back year after year over the past, say, 10 years that I've been involved with the eTourism Summit always is content marketing, year in and year out, when we say to people, you know, what are the things that you came to hear more about and to learn how to do better? And what are the things where you'd like to put more resources? It's always content marketing that comes at the top of the list. And why do you think it is that, you know, we're still talking about that for destination marketing? Do you think that there's something we ought to be doing better or realizing about content marketing? You mentioned storytelling and you mentioned distribution, you know, LinkedIn and Instagram. Is there something else you think that one ought to be doing? I know that Halloween's coming, for example. So I looked at your website and there's a lot of blogs about pumpkin patches and things that, you know, is seasonal. Maybe we're back to seasonal conversations now that new normal is maybe becoming more normal.
Yeah, well, I would suggest to any sort of destination management leader or marketer out there, and maybe you do this already, but make time for brainstorming with your staff. We've had meetings, we call them what if meetings, where they're whiteboard sessions and we have a topic and we write up every idea on the board that people have. And maybe let's take Halloween, for example, or the fall season. You know, what are some things that we think we have to highlight, you know, over the next couple of months to really get people to want to travel here for that time period? And, you know, we might get 15 to 20 suggestions and ideas, and maybe not all of them emerge and make it on the website. But typically when you make time to brainstorm, you can build off of each other's ideas and make those ideas even stronger. And I think that is really where the great content is derived. It's from bringing together a group of people, and they don't all have to be in the marketing department. Sometimes the greatest ideas can come from somebody very junior in the organization. And that ability to listen and collaborate is where I've experienced, both in the tourism world as well as the fashion, sneaker, and apparel world. It's from those brainstorming sessions that the greatest initiatives and ideas come about. And so for us, you know, in Lancaster County, as we think about fall, you know, some people come here because they want to catch the Amish in the midst of plowing fields or go to their roadside stands or farmers markets. But it's really all about the harvest season. in this part of the country, you know, the seasons are extreme. And in the fall, it's so colorful and beautiful and foliage and, you know, all those things that surround this idea of the harvest season really come to life. And believe it or not, Lancaster County, from a hotel standpoint, typically has their best performance during the month of October on an annual basis because of that reputation that you talked about. Whether you're from, say, Long Island or Washington, D.C., it's almost become this annual pilgrimage to come here and maybe take a hayride or find that perfect pumpkin to take back with you, you know, or maybe it's even someplace like Field of Screams, which is like a nationally known place to experience haunted houses and haunted attractions, something called the Haunted Woods and a haunted hayride and all those things that go along with this time of year of jack-o'-lanterns. And it's just a really sort of mystical place to travel to. And we've really benefited from it.
Oh, you know, haunted and hayrides and Halloween, you know, what's not to like?
That's right. And hey, if you have a sweet tooth too, all the candy, right? But we've been really fortunate because we have sort of these idyllic areas that have covered bridges and things that are sort of timeless that people just love to come here for every fall.
I think, you know, you're painting a picture of the pure Americana nostalgia that is very appealing.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you say that because there is a trend. I've read some things recently on that topic of Americana. I think through the pandemic, you know, a lot of people were at home quite a bit, maybe reevaluating, reassessing their lives and things like that. And there's this sort of wave of popularity around nostalgia and things that are, you know, take us back to pure Americana. And if there's one destination that has a blend of things that are older and things that are newer, it's definitely Lancaster County. And when you look at the lifestyle that even the Amish community, the simple life that they live, for some people, they want to get back closer to something of that world. And we certainly can offer that and people can see that here.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me, Ed, I was wondering if you could stick around for a minute, put a different hat on for a moment, if you
sure
would, and put on the hat called I'm on the advisory board of the eTourism Summit, which you are, and a thought leader, which we've already indicated you're in the top five of all DMO folks. And tell me, what do you think is going? We promised to talk about jobs. So what do you think is going on in the job arena? You might see that we've got, you know, we got up to 100 listings every week. Now we're up to sort of 200 listings every week. And we see everything from, you know, president and CEO of larger DMOs to much smaller ones and chambers and different iterations in that regard. And then right down to sports marketing, which has grown from what I can see. You know, we used to have one occasional listing and now we sort of have half a dozen every week where people are looking for sports marketing directors in their sales department. And we're just overwhelmed by director of marketing, even in large cities. Any thoughts on sort of what's going on and where you think we're going to go with all this in 2022?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, across the board, a lot of job growth in general in other industries too. But I think, you know, you mentioned sports. And what I can tell you is that, you know, here in central Pennsylvania, so to speak, you know, we've got a sports facility that draws lots and lots of big groups. And the group business, at least for the last, say, 12 to 18 months, has been largely driven by sports as corporate, you know, slowly starts to return. I mean, we're hoping that corporate groups start to play a much bigger role in the overall pie come the back half of 2022. But in the interim, sports marketing, those jobs that have been posted recently, I'm not very surprised at that in the sense that sports groups have been driving the room blocks for the most part at our hotels, with the absence of the corporate groups not really being back quite yet. And so that doesn't surprise me. I think in general, the jobs, director of marketing and the various levels of these different organizations in the tourism space, I don't see them being open as long as maybe some other industries. Because I really do believe that as we inch a little bit closer to herd immunity, hopefully, knock on wood, that people are going to realize just how much of a surge we're about to have here in the tourism world. And those jobs are going to be coveted because at the end of the day, this industry is an amazing industry to work in terms of just creativity, storytelling. It's the perfect canvas for any marketer to paint just an amazing picture season after season and do it all over again and freshen it up in a new way each time. And so any marketer out there that starts to see these jobs as tourism continues to pick up, I know there's a lot of openings right now, but for those of the people out there who want to stay in the industry or move into our industry, now is the time, because I really feel we're on the verge of a great run in terms of tourism across the board.
From your mouth to God's ears, and glad to hear you say it, Ed, with such confidence. And I certainly hope you're right. And I think everyone listening hopes you're right. And I'm sure you are. So I want to thank you for your thoughts today. It's been a great conversation. Love hearing about what you're doing and getting into that car advertising on the move thing. Driving into your drive market seems like a great solution.
Awesome. Happy to be here and have a great week.
Thanks very much, Ed. Thanks for joining us for the 14th episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast and our guest, Ed Harris, President and CEO of Discover Lancaster, which everybody can find at, of course, discoverlancaster.com. For more information on job listings in the e-tourism community, just go to thetravelvertical.com, where every single week we let you know about people on the move and about new job listings in destination marketing organizations, as well as related attractions and vendors from our community. So check them out and share them widely. And thank you very much for joining us today.